Good morning, everyone. I am Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the Development Review Board. We will begin the July 21st meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We're conducting this meeting remotely so everyone can participate safely while we remain under a public health emergency. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask questions of the moderators, which are Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Information Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves. We have from code enforcement, we have he was here last week, but I just want to make sure that everyone knows Vincent is the regular member of the DRB now. And then we have for Parks and Rec, we have Ms. Sandoval filling in, but we'll go ahead and turn it to you individually to introduce yourselves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority.
Good morning, Fitzmontano, code enforcement.
Ms. Sandoval, if you'd introduce yourself.
Good morning, I'm Christina Sandoval of Parks and Recreation.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology.
Jane Wolfenberger with transportation.
And again, I'm Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the DRB. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB through Zoom, and to allow DRB members to remain to provide electronic signatures for approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Vincent Montano, code enforcement, I second.
Okay, please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, code enforcement, I approve.
Christina Sandoval, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this virtual meeting and electronic signatures after the meeting. Couple notes for an applicants. Once again, thank you for all the efforts you've made to make sure you're using the right notice forms. Those forms are on the DRB website. Continue doing that. I think we've eliminated most of the problem with that. And then this next announcement is really important. And we just found out about this. We would have liked to have given you more notice, but we ourselves are just finding out. So we have an annual update of the IDO. The City Council approved quite a few amendments to the IDO that could affect your projects, and that IDO will be effective on July 30th. That is a Friday. So any applications that are made on July 30th or subsequent to July 30th will be under the rules of the 2020 updated IDO. And that's available on at least the ABC to Z website, and also should be on the regular city planning department website. And there are some public trainings available to just get you up to speed on that new IDO. Those occur next week, correct, Ms. Gould? And that is all on the ABC to Z project page. And there will be a new submittal form for site plans that relates to climatic responsiveness. Those submittal forms will hopefully be available Friday or Monday for anyone that's submitting a site plan on July 30th. And we'll have a little bit of need to work with you and provide some measure of accommodation, as we know that some of these things are a little bit new, especially this new submittal form and some of the evaluations that are required. So we will work with you on that. Like I said, that got accelerated a little earlier than we were expecting. So we're passing on the information as soon as we have it. The DRB members who approve of your site plan platter infrastructure list today will electronically sign those documents at the end of the meeting or following the meeting. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck will be routing those documents through the DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all their utility signatures. This is the quickest path to get your signatures completed. Then the applicants receive an emailed copy of the signed document. If you're approved with delegation, you will need to complete delegation items with the appropriate DRB members and then send the PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck to get electronic signatures at a later date. Let's now turn to Ms. Gomez and go over our agenda and any changes. There are changes on the agenda today, so we'll go through those. Ms. Gomez.
So for item number 5, PR 2021-5508, that's application SI 2021-809 for site plan. This item was incorrectly placed on this agenda and it will be placed will be heard on July 28th as originally requested.
Okay, and originally deferred per the DRB vote. So thank you, Ms. Gomez. Okay, next item.
And for item number 9, PR 2021-5019, application SD 2021-110 for vacation of public easement and application SD 2021-109 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to August 11th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 9 to August 11th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
It's Montano, Code Enforcement, I second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vince Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Christina Sandoval, Parks and Recreation, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 9, PR 2021-5019, applications 2021-110, vacation of public easement, and 2021-109, preliminary final plat, to the August 11th meeting of the DRB. And that was at 4701 4th Street. Ms. Gomez.
That's all I have this morning.
That's all you have. Okay. And just for everyone to note that before the agenda was posted, applicants requested deferrals for item number two to July 28th and item number 3 to August 4th. So those are posted on the agenda and those two items will not be heard this morning. Okay, thank you. We have our agenda set for today. If you are a member of the public and you're here to speak on any of our agenda items, I will give you an opportunity case by case and call for you to come forward. At that time, you will you can turn off your video, unmute yourself, and you can raise your hand on Zoom, which if you hover over the bottom of the screen of your Zoom screen to the far right on the bottom is the happy face that's reactions. You click on that and there's a raise your hand feature there. You can also press *9 if you're on audio, or you can just kind of speak up verbally and we will find you. So, but that will happen case by case and we'll do that then. If there are any technical issues this morning in running our meeting on Zoom, I will end the meeting and we will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects, and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. In 2017, the IDEO was adopted and increased the scope of site plans being reviewed by the DRB and thus increased due process requirements. The DRB staff members apply the standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I would like to introduce staff and swear them in. Maggie Gould is the Development Services Manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear from to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is Senior Planner to the DRB. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear from to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I do.
Mr. Shah Biazar is the City Engineer. Mr. Biazar, are you
there? Shah Biazar, yes.
Do you swear from to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Sanchez. Thanks for being here. Okay, we are ready to start our agenda. The first case is item one, PR 2021-5390, site plan 2021-832, sidewalk width waiver VA 2021-217 for the Greater Albuquerque Housing Partnership, located at 5000 Central Avenue Southeast. And they are represented by Consensus Planning. So let's see if you want to go ahead and turn on your video if you're going to be speaking on this case. All right, Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
You look like you might be the leader of the pack. Yes. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself with your address?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. My name is Jackie Fishman. My address is 302 A Street Northwest, Albuquerque, 87102.
Thank you, Ms. Fishman. Do you swear from to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to go ahead and start out, and then I can bring in whoever is next from your team?
Yes, thank you for that. The other people from the team that will probably be speaking are Dave Obey from the design group. He's our project engineer. Katen Baratia is our project architect from design group. And then also we have Felipe Rael from Greater Albuquerque Housing Partnership on the call. Lastly, Michael Voss from my office is on the call as well. So before you is our project at the corner of Central Avenue and Jackson Street. It is a 92-unit multifamily project with a small amount of commercial, about 2,500 square feet on the ground floor facing Central. We are within the Knob Hill Highland CPO 8 area. And obviously within a major transit corridor area of Central and San Mateo. We're just west of San Mateo. We're in an area of change and also a premium transit area. The project site currently is comprised of 22 individual lots. We are in the process of consolidating those lots, and I believe Cartesian Survey submitted a plat application to DRB this week. So that probably won't be heard until next week. However, we made our submittal of the site plan and we did have a two-week, we requested a two-week deferral. We're here today. Also, I would add that yesterday we were before the ZHE for a number of facade variances, all having to do with glazing and sill height, that, you know, these requirements are in the CPO 8, Knob Hill Highland. Those are items that were addressed in the previous IDO update, but were not addressed in CPO 8. So we still have you know, the 60% glazing requirement and things like that, that, you know, this, most projects and certainly this projects can't meet. So with that, again, we're here at DRB for the site plan, and we did receive the comments yesterday, and we're ready to discuss it with you all.
Okay, thank you. So let's go ahead, Mr. Obey. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself, give us your address, and I'll swear you in.
Yeah, David Obey, Apartment of Majewski Design Group, 120 Vassar Drive, Southeast, 87106.
Okay, do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Is there anything you want to add at this point in time?
I think that Jackie pretty well covered it. Looking through the comments, I had one for the Water Authority for Blaine. We did adjust the fire hydrant location, what it was being fed off of. Initially, it was being fed off of Jackson, and now we're showing it off of that new 8-inch extension line on Silver. But the fire hydrant locations are basically the same as what we had submitted during the availability statement request. So it seemed like there was a comment in with the Water Authority's concerns about that. So maybe I can certainly check with you or Chris Gustafson to verify that, but.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Obey. And let's see, who was your architect?
Kagan?
Let's go ahead.
Baratia?
If you could go ahead and speak up, you might pop up on my Zoom list.
Yeah, hi. This is Ketan Baratia. I'm the project architect on this with Hartman and Majewski Design Group Architects. And the address is 120 Vassar Drive, Southeast, Albuquerque, 87106.
Do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Fishman, is there anything else your team wants to say by way of introduction?
No, I think that that's it. I do have a question when the time comes. Based on the site plan, there was a note about from Dave about a waiver, and I just want to make sure that we're covered on that issue.
Okay.
So when if Jay could bring up the site plan, I can point that out to you.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's turn to the public now. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item number one, which is at 5000 Central Avenue Southeast? Okay, I'm looking and not seeing any hands at this point in time. Okay, if for some reason I've missed you, we can plug you in as we go along, but right now I'm going to turn to, and you'll just have to let me know that, we'll turn to Water Authority for comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. Thank you for the introductions. The project, just a couple of general comments. We do have availability statement 210332 that applies to the project and provides the kitchens for service. Looking at the submitted documents, those appear to be incorporated. Their statement requirements are incorporated in those. We have no objections to the infrastructure list. Regarding the fire hydrant comment, our engineer assistant Edwin did look at that yesterday and we look good on that. So I think that clears that up. We're good to go on that comment. And just a general comment that we do require access to the meter vault behind the fence that's shown in the site plan. Other than that, we have no comments or objections and we're ready to move forward. Thank you.
This is David Obey. Can we just give you access through the gates in case anything needs to be? Okay.
Yes, plan for the Water Authority, yes, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, excellent work there. Thank you. Code enforcement.
Good morning, Vince Montano, code enforcement. Ms. Fishman addressed majority of the comments that I had, but I'll go ahead and go through them. The property sits on multiple property lines, replat will be required. It's my understanding you're going through that. The window door calculations for transparency also addressed through the ZHE. We'll wait for that decision. There was another comment to to provide the first floor floor plan to assure that it's complying with the landscape requirements, one tree per dwelling unit or required street trees. A window detail is also required to assure, unless that's part of the variance too, I didn't catch that, to make sure that those windows have the recessed 2-inch requirement. That's my only comments for the site plan. We have no comments or objections for the sidewalk width waiver.
Thank you. Ms. Fishman, could we have someone on your team talk about the windows? Are they recessed 2 inches?
Caitlin, do you want to address that question?
Yes, please. This is Caitlin here again with Hartman Majewski Design Group. Yes, we are going to recess the window. And we will have a minimum 2-inch recess on the
Okay. Is there a note on the plan that indicates that?
Currently not, but we will incorporate a detail now.
Okay.
Made a revised drawing if needed.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Let's go now to Parks and Recreation.
Good morning. We just have one comment for the site plan. Under the tree planting detail, please add a note that states that organic wood chip mulch will be put over the root ball to cover the drip line. And that's also in writing, so that should be easy for you to add that note. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of June 1st, 2021. We have no objection.
Thank you, transportation.
Good morning, this is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. The transportation department approves the sidewalk width waiver as requested. Right-of-way dedication or sidewalk easement is required for new sidewalk prior to site plan approval. I do understand that a plat is in process. So I just wanted to comment on that. Other than that, I just had a minor comments on the ramps. Specify which ramps are being used around the handicap spaces. Also, for the corner ramp at the northwest corner, it looks like a different drawing number may be more appropriate in this situation. Make sure that the ramps in the public right-of-way line up with the existing conditions, including the existing sidewalks, and show that on the plan. Please provide a complete detail for the ramp along the west side of the building. My notes said east side, but I meant to say west side. The ramp with the handrail is what I'm specifically talking about, showing all dimensioning and required slopes. Sidewalk details shall call out maximum 2% cross slope. And then I'd like for you to also look at the clear sight when pulling out onto the road to the south on Silver, just to make sure parallel parking won't interfere with that clear sight. There may be a chance to have to get rid of a couple of spaces when looking to the left as pulling out. And that's it.
This is David Obey with Design Group. When I had done the many site triangles in the past and we had parallel parking, we usually shifted those kind of, we had one right at the back of the sidewalk to protect the pedestrians going by. But then the vehicle would roll forward once there was no pedestrians, and we would start another site triangle kind of at the limit of the parallel parking. Is that not correct anymore?
The new DPM requirements, you know, incorporate speed limits based on ASHTO into the overall requirement. I mean, we do use many clear site triangles in some cases, but I think in this case, you may only be looking at knocking out a couple of parallel parking spaces. So if you could just take a look at that, you know, just to make sure as the car pulls out at the required speed limit, can it safely pull out?
Okay. And I know the posted speed limit is at 18, but the ASHTO tables only go down to 20. So we can start there and work our way out.
Yes.
I don't have any concerns with calling out the additional details for the ramps and adjusting those up on the central and central Jackson corners. I do have a ramp both at the west side of the building that you mentioned, but I also have one coming out of a stairwell on the eastern side of that wing that goes to the south. So I will provide details for both of those for your review.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so I'll need to have all the ramp details that you have on the site plan detailed, as well as the correct ramp callouts and, you know, line up with existing crosswalks.
Okay, and is that true for the ramps that go up to the doors of the building from the sidewalk, as opposed to the curb access ramps?
That includes both the public ramps as well as the private on-site ramps, yes.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Biazar.
Hey, this is Shahab Biazar. So I know you guys are going to be coming through platting action. So at the corners, we are going to be requesting radiuses. So I noticed that your buildings are fairly close to those corners. So we need to look at those, and you may have to revise your site plan based on those radiuses, because you also have to dedicate sidewalks. So at the northwest corner and southwest corner of the property, those corners are really tight, and the building is there are improvements, proposed improvements close to those corners. So we're going to have to look at those closely. Also, I noticed that on the east side of the project, there's an entrance. We just have to make sure that the walls are not built to block their clear sight distance. That's all I have.
This is David Obey, the design group. We are dedicating all the way up to the back of the proposed sidewalk. There will be a radius at the Jackson's central intersection. To make sure that that public sidewalk is completely within the right of way. Down at the southwest corner, at the Silver Jackson corner, I envisioned that we could keep that as a square without the radius and still get all of the sidewalks within the public right of way that's being granted.
So this is Shahab Biazar. The radius is not just purely for the sidewalk or ramps. It's also for clear sight distance. So we typically require 25 foot or 30 foot radiuses at those corners.
Okay, because we were proposing a fence line around the playground area down at the southwest corner. Is there a way we could go down to a 10 foot radius on that instead of the 25?
Jay, are you able to zoom in on those areas that they're talking about? So now we're in the southwest corner near the playground and the entrance.
I'm not sure who's driving. I think it's Jackie, but
not me.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. This is the southwest corner, right?
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Yeah,
so at this corner, we're already about 10 or 11 feet back from the curb line. So, I mean, I would think that even just a 10-foot radius at this corner would be enough to make sure that that site distance is okay, especially with parallel parking on each side.
This is Shahab Biazar. Yeah, go ahead and provide the necessary documentation or exhibits for Gene to review to make sure that, 10-foot radius may work, but just have to provide documentation that that does work. And then the height of the fence, I'm assuming that since it's a playground, it's going to be a 6-foot fence or 5-foot fence at least.
A 6-foot fence is proposed there, yes.
And yeah, probably just have to double check with code enforcement on that. But then if you could go, Jay, could you go to the Jackson and Central corner? What kind of radius are you proposing once you move the property line back to the sidewalk, back of sidewalk? What kind of radius are we proposing there?
I think it was a 10-foot radius at that point.
Okay. All right. So that's not going to impact your, well, yeah, like I said, same thing in this corner. If you could provide documentation that that's going to work as far as the clear sight distance is concerned. And because, yeah, you have your patio real close to that. So I don't know, once you put the radius, I don't know if that's going to impact your patio or not.
Yeah, I don't believe that it does, but we'll certainly check that, Shahab.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's all I had.
Thank you. Let's go to planning for comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Staff notes in our memo that the sidewalk width request, waiver request, was fully justified. We note that the landscape is provided above the requirements. Regarding the building facade requirements, we kind of went over the window recess requirement. And it sounds like it's going to be noted on the revised site plan. We also noted that each floor of every facade that faces a public street shall contain a minimum of 20% of the facade in transparent windows and or doors. That needs to be depicted and confirmed or placed into a comment response letter and detailed. We need to know if that's being met. And we noted too that as Jackie talked about, that a plot in action consolidating the 22 lots, you know, must be approved prior to the approval of this site plan. We also had an FYI comment and a suggestion that the west elevation with a long building wing should account for strong solar radiation effects on this western facade. We asked to consider using heat mitigation measures for windows facing west and glare, and to account for glare from direct sunlight through windows, which can be effectively diffused by tree canopies. And just, we asked for you to consider how the trees on the western landscape area could reduce western sun effects. And that concludes our comments. Oh, and I'll just add this too. The 2020 update of the IDO has some design considerations helpful to this project. Please, and just, we just ask you to please consider how you could address these items.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman from Consensus Planning. If I could just respond to Jay's comment about the windows and the glazing requirements. Again, as I mentioned, when we started, we were at the ZHE hearing yesterday for those variances. We're basically asking for a 20% variance on the ground floor and 20% on the upper floors. And I would note, like I did at ZHE yesterday, that because we have our small commercial space on the ground floor, that kicks us up to a higher glazing standard. What the team really, the team was challenged by the applicant to at least meet the requirements that would be in place if we didn't have the commercial space. So that's what they did, because they wanted to show, the intent to meet the IDO as much as possible. So 20% on the ground floor, 20% on the upper was basically our variance requests on glazing.
So Ms. Fishman, just to clarify for me, so the end result would be 20%?
So the end result glazing on the ground floor, I believe, was gonna be 40 and 20% on the upper floors.
Okay, so it was a variance of 20% of the requirement.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, and I think both of those are higher requirements for the CPO than what is in the regular IDO, so you've yes, met that 20%. Okay.
All right. And then if I could, Jay, can you go back to the site plan real quick before I forget to mention this? If you could pull that down at the, I'm pointing, no, you can't see that, at the corner of Central and Jackson, so yeah, up there. That note that we have on the site plan, the big note about the deviation to allow for 3-6 tall patio railing, we noticed that again this week and just wanted to call your attention to it. I don't believe it was addressed in my letter to the DRB, and so I don't know if that's something we need to add to the request or not, but I didn't want to forget and then have it come up later.
Okay, so is that a deviation from the building code?
I think it's from the building code, so I'm not sure what the right venue for that request is, and I think that's why it wasn't addressed before.
Okay, that's a good question. Mr. Montano, do you know the answer to that?
I think, Madam Chair, if it's Montano, code enforcement, no, I would have to look into that a little more deeply.
Okay.
And this is David Obey with the design group. So when we have a grade separation exceeding 30 inches of vertical drop between one walking surface and the ground below it, we're required to put in a guardrail as opposed to just a standard handrail.
Okay.
Once we have a guardrail requirement that is 42 inches in height from the upper walking surface, it basically is just to catch the center of gravity of an adult and keep them from being able to fall over the edge. The IDO was limiting the height of that railing to down to 3 feet. So that's what we're asking for, is the ability to put in a guardrail in that location to meet the building code requirement, the IBC.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look into that because, let's see, 3 feet, 6 inches is 36, 42, 10% of that is 4.5 inches. Help me with my math. Is that a 10%?
No, that's
deviation?
A little bit more.
A little bit more. I thought it was just a little 15%. Bit more, but then my brain stopped. Okay.
This is Michael Voss.
Mr. B, let's go to Mr. Biazar first. Thank you. And then we can go to Mr. Biazar.
This is Shahab Biazar. So would that the fence hiking, would that also a variance would be required for the other corner where you have the playground? Because that fence is 5-6 feet high. Are we going to need any variance on the height? Because I felt like, you know, we have to be like a 3 foot high max. But I could be wrong. That was just
Mr. Montano, I think in that location, they can have a taller fence, but maybe Mr. Montano can look that up for us.
It's Montano, code enforcement. Yeah, there's an exception for multifamily dwellings to exceed that 3 foot height minimum or maximum, rather. I'd have to find the actual court ordinance, but that's how it reads.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else, Mr. Biazar?
This is Shahab Biazar. No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Voss, I don't think we've sworn you in, so go ahead and give your name, address.
Yes, Michael Voss with Consensus Planning, 302 8th Street Northwest, 87102.
Do you swear from to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks. And I was just going to mention, while everyone was speaking, I went and looked at the IDO fence standards section once again. And we can look at this more too, obviously, if we're taking a deferral. But for this, I think both for the playground fence, and actually I think even for this patio railing fence, would meet the exception as called out in the IDO for multifamily, because it's view fencing and it's transparent that we can see through. So I don't think we need a deviation officially for this.
Okay.
We can double check that. But I think that exception would cover both of the fence locations that were just discussed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Voss, that's helpful. And yeah, and I was wondering if the transparency made a difference there. Okay, and you're saying that the fence around the playground is transparent as well. It's like railings or something.
This is Michael Voss. My understanding, it's a wrought iron style fence.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Fishman, on those, and maybe this for your architect, whose name I need about three tries to learn, but that's just an idea. The IDO is moving in an area of recommending, and in the case of multifamily, it's more than recommending, but requiring heat mitigation on western facades, the windows that would face west. And so that can be achieved by a variety of methods, the glazing, there can be sunshades, there can even be vegetation that all work toward doing that heat mitigation. And since you had a pretty long western frontage, we just wanted to recommend that to you. It's not a requirement at this point, but it would indeed make your building operating costs over the useful life well worth any upfront investment. So if you just kind of take that into consideration. And do you, I think on your landscaping plan, you do have quite a few trees. They may not be as tall as your building at mature height, but it looked like you, your landscape architect was working toward some, you know, shading on that side of the building that looked very positive.
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. I'll say Keaton. That's the part I can pronounce. Did you have any comments on that?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I think you're correct about actually, the reduction of sidewalk width has given us an opportunity to add more landscape in that area. And that has definitely helped with the heat island effect in that area. There are large shade trees, and we will review again with our landscape architect what other trees we can that comply with the zoning requirement, and we can explore that and provide more shade in that area. The windows, we are using high energy efficient low E windows on the west facade. We are providing more R value than the code requires on the exterior walls to achieve the HERS rating that's required on the project for MFA design guidelines. So I think overall the envelope of the building is very energy efficient for this, and I think it's going to help. The other thing that's helping us is, of course, we submitted for the variance for 20% reduction of the openings, the glazing. Mm-hmm. That's going to largely help. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, and if you look at the elevations of the building, I think the proportionally the windows looks really nice on the facade, but not too much. So that is also going to help on the overall heat gain on this project.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Okay, at this point, we're looking for a deferral so you can have your plat heard together the next time we're looking at your site plan. Have you targeted a date?
Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman. I believe the plat will be scheduled for the 28th next week.
Oh, already? Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I suggest that we get heard again a week from today.
Okay. And with all the items in your comments, do you feel that the site plan will be ready for the 28th?
Madam Chair, Jackie again. I've looked through them quickly. They seem doable. You know, Dave can weigh in, but I didn't think there was anything of major concern that I saw that we couldn't get done. I mean, we would have a deadline of Friday at noon this week.
Okay. Let me ask a couple of questions. This is Chair Wolfley. When is your ZHE decision expected?
The ZHE decision, Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again, would be 15 days from yesterday. So looks like the 4th, August 4th.
Okay, because we need your ZHE decision before we can approve the site plan with those, any variances on it.
Yeah,
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. I think the other thing to think about with the ZHE decision is that there is a 15-day appeal period. So the and I'll ask Nicole to leap in if I have this wrong, but the applicant can proceed at their own risk within that 15-day appeal period. But were the if the ZHE decision was to be appealed, then we wouldn't be able to approve the site plan. I mean, I think we could hold off final signature.
That's what, Madam Chair and Maggie, that's what I was hoping, is that it could just delay the signatures, but that we could still move forward.
Ms. Sanchez, did you have any comments?
This is Nicole Sanchez. I agree with Ms. Gould.
Okay. But nonetheless, if you were at ZHE yesterday, and if we go till the 28th, that's only going to be like 8 days.
Right.
But it's also true that, August 4th. I'm already in September. September 4th, we're not meeting, or sometime in September. But August 4th, we are meeting. I think that might be a smarter date for your deferral than trying for the 28th.
Okay. Jackie, again, I agree with you. I think we could go with a 2-week deferral to the 4th. I would just note that in our facilitated meeting, we had support for the project. Someone showed up at ZHE yesterday in opposition or support. So. I'm anticipating an approval, but of course you can't guarantee it.
All right. And then we can resolve the fence issues and the various transportation items with just a little bit more clarity than trying to do it in, by Friday. So, then let's look at deferring you to August 4th.
Yeah.
And do you want to go ahead? It sounds like your plat is going to be on for the 28th. Do you want to go ahead with that? I guess you can flesh out any things on the plat on the 28th.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again. Yeah, I think if it's agreeable with the DRB board, I'd like to go forward with the plat next week. If there are any questions, that we can address it by the 4th. So that would make sense to me.
Okay, that makes sense to me too. Is there a motion to defer item number 1 to August 4th?
And Carter at the Water Authority, so moved.
It's a Latonio, code enforcement, I second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
It's a Latonio, code enforcement, I approve.
Ms. Sandoval.
I approve, thank you.
Ernest Vermejo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approe.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 1, PR 2021-5390, site plan 2021-832, sidewalk width waiver 2021-817 to the August 4th meeting of the DRB.